Magazine of Years was given to Carolyn.
Okay.
I told her to even put it in her box and give it to her dad.
Okay, thanks.
To be a stone in the New Jerusalem. I want to be a stone in the city of God. I want to be a stone in the New Jerusalem forever to never grow. Praise our God. Amen. Psalms 24. I gave you one scripture just as we were quitting, and some of you may have not got it on the last verse of chapter 23. I gave you Hebrews 3, 5 and 6, and Psalm 90, 61, and Ephesians 2, 22. Thanks. Shall I say it again? The cross references for the last verse in chapter 23 of Psalm, Hebrews 3, verses 5 and 6, Psalm 90 and 61. And Ephesians 2, 22. And then Psalm 24, the Lord reigning as King. We see Him in 22, dying, 23, resurrected, and shepherding His people. The very important, the whole thing there, just to make your own, that 23rd Psalm is wonderful, but it's so well known, I don't think I need to say anything more about it, but He certainly restores the soul. He certainly does stay with you. He walks with you through the shadow of death. And thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. In the midst of all your persecutions and troubles and trials and your friends leaving you and your parents against you or the children against you or any other circumstance of that sort, God prepares a table right in the presence of our enemy. He makes us to rejoice. He makes us to feed upon His precious word, and we just get fat in the Lord anyway. Praise the Lord. He prepares a table before me. Thou anointest my head with oil. Now, they knew in olden time, that's not just the baptism of the Holy Ghost as we know it. They had God's holy anointing back there, and they felt it. even as I felt it a long time before I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The power of God was just so wonderful. And that's why so many people think that they have the baptism of the Holy Spirit when they have not as yet received it, because they do have a joy in the Lord oftentimes. It's just, He's just the comforter to all who believe on Him and trust in Him and know Him at all. But the tongues is only a matter of sign because of the time. After that Jesus came, the sign was given, because the promise of the Father was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. The only reason they didn't have it back there, it hadn't come yet, but he gave this as something that when it did come, then they'd have something to go by, so they'd know that they had what he was talking about, and not just the blessings that they'd always known, some of them at least, at certain times. But this was something that was going to abide in you, as something that was going to be with you always. It was something you'd find very near unto you at all times, and especially in a time of need. Very present help in a time of trouble. But he did give them the sign so that even the unbeliever could know. And also even among those others, there are those who think they have it, but when they receive this, then this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. This is the sign. This is, with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the Sabbath. This is the Sabbaton. This is the rest God promised unto his people. They know they have it when they get the sign. My cup runneth over. And that's when it gets so good you can hardly stand it. And that's precious also. But it does not necessarily mean you have to be speaking in tongues. There are others who had a good anointing with the cup running over in olden time too. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the continual abiding of that Spirit within you, as a present living thing, so there's no longer I but Christ, that's something that's really precious and something the rest of them didn't know about. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that house of the Lord that you're going to dwell in forever is not a house made with hands. It's not a temple in Jerusalem. It's none of those things. It's that great house of God whose house we are. According to Hebrews 3:6, I believe it is. And the 24th is the Lord reigning as king. With that 1 Peter 5:4, as I gave you the other day, you already have it. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. God said in another place, the gold and the silver are mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. If I were hungry, I wouldn't ask you for anything. Everything belongs to him. Everything is his. The earth and the fullness thereof. For he hath founded it upon the seas. You see, the seas are the greater portion of this surface of this earth. And these other things are just founded upon the seas. He just caused the land to rise up above the waters and give us a bit of dry ground. And he established it upon the floods, because there's where all the floods go, is into the sea, and then God put his land, dry land, out above it. Who shall ascend into the hills of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. And the whole 15th chapter of Psalms gives you the rest of the conditions and as to who is going to dwell in his holy hill. He who does these things and hath clean hands and a pure heart, hath not sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessings from the Lord. The blessing from the Lord. And righteousness from the God of his salvation. Righteousness imparted unto him. The God of his salvation. Jesus Christ is the God of our salvation. He is the Savior of the world. There is no other name whereby we must be saved. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. That is a bit troublesome, that one verse there, but it's not troublesome if you just look at it the way it is. This is the generation. He doesn't mean just one particular generation in time, but this people who are holy, this people who are clean, this people whose hearts are pure, they shall be accounted unto him for a generation, it says in another place, Isaiah 53. They shall be accounted unto him for a generation. And this is the generation of them that seek him. You remember that blessed are all those that seek him. We've had several in that. And Psalm 2:9 is one that I have in mind right now, besides several others we found since that time. 69:32 also. This is the generation, or that seed of the Lord, of them that seek him, that seeks thy face, O Jacob. They not only are seeking him, but he is seeking them. 69:32, that's where that belongs. And Luke 19:10 also. I will both seek out my sheep. There are other places, many places in here, where you notice that he seeks his sheep. Other sheep I have, them also I must bring, and I will seek out my sheep where they're scattered upon all the hills, where they've been scattered without a shepherd. Psalm 27:8 also. There are several others. However, I'm trying to travel here, I guess. All right. And lift ye up, O ye gates. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord, Yahweh, strong and mighty, the Lord Yahweh, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of hosts, the Lord of his great army. He is the King of Glory. Selah, our Rock of Ages. Even the Lord Jesus is this King of Glory. Ye gates, ye doors, we all become gates and doors. You remember that the gates of the holy city are named after the 12 tribes of Israel. We also notice that all of those, I pray not only these, but for all of those who believe on me through their words. So you become gates and doors also. And notice how that God has opened the doors also in Revelation, chapter 3, 7 and 8. As we read back there for the overcomers. I'll look at that one with you here. Revelation 3, 7 and 8. It says, "And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia." That's the church that we're living in now. That's the one that's just about come to an end. We're just now changing over into the Laodicean. But the Philadelphia church is the church of brotherly love. It's the one that God gives the most wonderful promises to. Listen to him. "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth." That's the dark side of it, see? Psalm 24:7-9. That's where we are here now. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. The everlasting doors. And no man can shut it. That's why they're everlasting. For thou hast a little strength, hast kept my word, hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I'll make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. And because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from an hour of the 70th week of Daniel. There were 70 weeks of Daniel until this thing should be finished concerning his people. And that is that last half of the 70th week. Is that 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation when the Antichrist is killing the saints, but God has snatched out his people, and the rest of them, he's bringing them through the fire and taking them out on the other side. And those who are faithful, because here the door is open forever or it's closed forever. He that shutteth, no man openeth. He that openeth, no man shutteth. God opens the door, it's open, but when God shuts it, it's shut. Just as sure as the door on the ark was shut. Noah didn't shut the door. God shut the door on the ark. Remember that? Remember that? God shut the door. No man could open. Noah couldn't open it. Nobody could open it. God shut the door. Now this is a horrible time coming, and those that are not in, by the time this thing is over, it's just too bad. God takes out even an elect number at that time. Now, that does not mean that God doesn't save some other people at that. In fact, he saves them all through the millennium. But for those who have had their opportunity, for those who have heard, from those who have known and have grown cold and gone backward or have not accepted, have not come in, the door is closed. The door is closed. You don't read about the church anymore after the man-child is caught up, except that she flees away into the wilderness. And the devil is right behind her, seeking to destroy the remnant of her seed. That's the last you hear of the church. That's the last you hear of the church. The everlasting doors God has opened. Lift ye up. Be ye lift up, O ye gates, and you everlasting doors, King of glory, shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And the Lord Jesus himself is that Lord. Psalm 25. Psalm of David. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Now, if you only lift up your voice and your soul is not in it, you can sing, you can testify like a house on fire. I hope you don't do it, but I've heard lots of people do it. Man, how they can testify, especially when a revival comes along. But during the time they live like the devil. And their testimony isn't true half the time either. They're not got what they're saying they've got, but they can sure make it sound good. I've heard a lot of that down through the ages here in my long life. Jacob said he was only a the days of the years of the life of my pilgrimage do not attain unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers which were before me. I'm only 137 years old, he said. I'm just a kid a long time, side of Methuselah and Adam and some of the rest of them. But my short age here that I am living in is not very long. It's getting shorter all the time. I mean, men are shortening their lives tremendously, in spite of the fact that we've had a little stretch of that. It's when this book was written, in fact, way back where it was first written, his life was even then only 70 years. And if by any chance it would reach 80 years, it still was nothing but trouble and vexation. Rather be dead than alive. Short and see, just cutting it down. But at the flood, God cut it down suddenly dropped way down. Noah's wife had triplets when he's 500 years old, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. 500 years old. And he was 600 years old when he came out of the ark. But right after that, you don't find them anymore. Man's life, yet a man's life shall be 120 years, he said before the flood. I'll destroy man. Yet a man's life, because my spirit will not always strive with man, but yet a man's life shall be 120 years. Dropped right down. Dropped right down. It was just almost that long also until the flood, so it was kind of a double sign there. One was that it would be about 120 years till the flood came, and the other was that when it did come, a man's life would be just cut right down, just like that. And it was, ever since. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Romans 9:33 says you won't be ashamed. God himself said it. You won't be ashamed if you trust in him. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. See, that reaches you and me. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. You know, that's the way of victory. If you call on God, ask him to show you his ways, and you'll look in here because these are his ways. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then he prayed in the garden. He said, Father, keep them in thy word. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. He said, while I was with them, I gave them thy word, and I kept them in thy name. Show me thy ways. Psalm 139:23-24. John 1:17. Chapter 14:6 of John also. These are all John now. 16:13 and 17:17. Along with Isaiah 42:16. And Jeremiah 31:9. Those are all good verses right there. I just couldn't help but put them down. Read them. Be sure and check upon them. Read them. Measure it with this verse. Lead me in thy truth. Thy word is truth. I am the truth, Jesus said. And teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. He's the Savior of the world. The great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Titus. Jesus Christ, our Savior. God, our Savior, in Titus. Just alternately. Along on thee do I wait all the day. Along with Acts 4:12. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies of the past. See how he was merciful and how he gently led them and how he bore them on his wings and how he forgave them and how he took them back unto himself and how he led them through the wilderness, how he fed them on the manna and all these things. Remember, Lord, thy tender mercies, thy loving kindnesses, lots of them. Thou hast daily loaded me with benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Can't remember right where it is, but you look it up and you know where it is. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. I am the Lord, I change not. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, all those go right with it, but I can't tell you right exactly where they are now. Look them up if you want to. Remember, O Lord, if you just jot down just enough to know, and then you can look them up in the concordance, because you should be looking these up in your concordance anyway, practicing on it. Thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies, thy loving kindness, where they have ever been of old. Remember not the sins of my youth. I guess every man, woman, and child has to pray that way. Remember, Lord, not the sins of my youth. My mother, when she received the baptism of the Holy Spirit after she was 50 years old, she said, oh, if I'd only known about this, if I'd only knew God like I know now when I was raising my children. And I can say amen. Save us a lot of... God's already forgiven us, but when I let myself just look back and think, oh my, what kind of life would people live without God? And here we were, knew nothing about Him, yet we believed in Him. Went to church sometimes. Sometimes we had no church to go to. Miles and miles from a church. I guess the nearest church, I don't know, 20, 30 miles for 5 years. Right at the time when I needed God the worst, those teenage early years, you know, when just full of mischief. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercy. Remember not the sins of my youth nor my transgressions. And he promised you that if you'd repent, he'd forgive you. Cast them behind his back to remember them against you no more forever. Now, God said he would forget them. But you can't forget them. You can't forget them. It's just as well you don't. Because it makes you appreciate God all the more. But we'd like to forget them. Sometimes we'd like to forget them. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. For thy great name's sake. For thou art a great, merciful, wonderful, loving God. Thou hast loved us with an everlasting love, and so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him might not perish, but have everlasting life. How great is his goodness! Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Because all your knowledge, all your salvation, all your promises is in Christ Jesus. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. Matthew 5:2, John 3:2, Matthew 4:23. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Luke 4:18. There's a lot of others. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimony, but not to the others. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. Any sin against the Lord is great. Any disbelief of God is a tremendous sin. That's the great transgression, is unbelief. Just unbelief. Greatest transgression you can have, just not to believe God. God will forgive you all these other things, but if you go on not believing God and blaspheme against this Holy Spirit, he said it'll never be forgiving them, neither in this world nor in the world to come. How long is that going to last? Think of it. For thy name's sake. God spoke to him and he said, not for your sakes, O Israel, do I do this, be it known unto you, but for my great name's sake, because I have a reputation among all the heathen and all the world and all those who will believe on me. I have a reputation to uphold. I'm a righteous God. I will not look on sin. I cannot countenance sin. I will not dwell among those that sin. And I will not tolerate it, and I'll destroy the sinner out of the land. For my great name's sake, and because I promised that I would save a seed, that I would take the seed of Abraham, and that I would take the seed of the woman, destroy their enemy, that I would do this thing, that I would make man in my own image after my likeness. I did create him for my glory, and nobody's going to keep me from doing it, bringing him into it, because of my promises, because I am a God that does not lie. I'm a God of truth and a God of mercy, but also a God of justice. Therefore, for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity. I prayed to the Lord a lot of time, and I said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should do this thing for me, but for your great name's sake, and for other people who are watching me, and lest I become a stumbling block to somebody else, for your great name's sake, do it. And I get so low that I feel like a worm sometimes, you know, before him, because the bigger he gets, the smaller I get. That's the way it was with Job, you see. All God did was just reveal to Job some of his greatness, just some of his greatness. And the bigger God got, the smaller Job got. Until finally Job felt like he really was a sinner. Maybe those miserable comforters weren't so far. You know, that's the way we feel when we realize that no man is perfect as yet, but God's going to make us perfect. We are perfected in the Beloved and acceptable in him. And he has called us to perfection. Be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And that's getting pretty perfect, but God is perfect. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. You want God to just lead you as it's pleasing to him? You must fear the Lord. You just can't lightly neglect to be obedient unto the Lord, nor do those things which you know are contrary to him. There's no fear of the Lord there. But to those that fear the Lord, think upon his name, a book of remembrance will be written. The Lord will hear those things. He knows all about what you're doing. He sees everything. He knows every thought, the very intents of your heart and mine. A book of remembrance is written, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord, for those who fear the Lord and think upon his name. They'll be mine when I make up my jewels, and I'll spare them in that great time, in that great judgment that's to come. I'll spare them as a man spares his only son. Malachi 3. His soul shall dwell at ease. My peace I leave with you, Jesus said. You probably have got a lot of scriptures right there in your margin. I don't know. I probably have too. I don't know what I've got down here. I'll give you what I've got right here on this one. I didn't put these down. These are already here. Job 13:26, 20:11, and Jeremiah 3:25, with that verse that I just read. Now, there are a lot of others here, but I'm trying to travel on. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. They are the meek of the earth also. Bienaventurados los mansos, porque de ellos recibirán la tierra por heredad. Any Spaniards here? Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. They shall receive the kingdom of God as an inheritance. Hebrews 8:10. And he will show them his covenant. Hebrews 8:10. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. He has set my feet upon a rock. Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged, O Lord. O bring thou me out of my distresses. He says he will deliver you from all of your troubles. Bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Now the chastening of the Lord, oftentimes he allows these things to come sometimes and allows you to remain with you for a while until you get to that last part. Forgive all my sins. You know, we don't have any sins sometimes. In our own estimation, we're just getting along beautifully until something like that happens, and then we kind of remember. Maybe we haven't been doing so good. You see, that's what it's for. Those whom he loves, he chastens. And no chastening is good for the present, but afterward it yieldeth the very pleasant fruits of righteousness. See? Because we're his children. A lot of people say, well, how come those people are sick? They're having trouble. All right, never mind. Look at your next door neighbor. What are you doing always spanking your kids? You're supposed to be Christian. Neighbors next door don't spank their kids. No, the little brats, they ought to have it though. They don't love them enough, I guess. But God loves us enough to trouble us. If you love your children, keep them right with the Lord. I don't mean beat them. I mean, don't let them get away with it. Talk to them about the Lord and tell them what the problem is and where they're headed. And if necessary, don't spare the rod. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for you pluck my feet out of the net. Turn unto me and have mercy upon me, for I'm desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart and lies bring me out of my distress. Look upon mine afflictions and my pain, forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Jesus said that same thing. They hated him without a cause, and they hated him with cruel hatred. The Herods hated him. The priests hated him. A lot of those people there around Jerusalem hated him. They even got the mob to go along with them. They didn't know what they were yelling about, but they went along anyway. Mobs love mobbery. They just have a great time tearing the place up, making lots of noise, tearing the city down. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Isaiah 59:20. He gives you some very precious promises concerning that. Many places in the Bible. He will redeem Israel. He will deliver him out of his trouble. He will turn him again. He will forgive him. He will love him freely after all of this, when he said, I will love him no more. In Hosea, the very last chapter of 14 of Hosea says, I will love him freely. They'll be my people. I'll be their God. And forever. I'll dwell among them forever. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. Chapter 26. Job walked in his integrity. He said, while I live, I will maintain my integrity in the Lord. My righteous conduct and my trusting God in all these things. Therefore I shall not slide. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. He hath enlarged my steps that my feet should not slip. You remember. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Another place says, examine me as with a candle. see if there be any unclean thing in me. For thy try my reins in my heart. There's that word reins again. Your characteristics which you've inherited, that which is within you, that which makes you what you are. Try my reins in my heart. They can be corrected. Many of those things can be corrected by trusting in the Lord and knowing Him, by being converted, turned around, by becoming a new creature in Christ Jesus. You can change some of that condition of the reins which you inherited. For thy loving kindness, prove me. James talks about these provings. Those testing, those trials are really provings in James. To prove yourself. Prove yourself. 2 Corinthians 13:5 also. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes. I've seen it. And I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. Psalm 1:1, you remember? Blessed is a man. Sitteth not in the seat of the scornful, walketh in the way of the ungodly, standeth in the way of sinners, and so on. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. That's one of the tests of a real Christian. He loves righteousness and hates iniquity. Job was called a perfect man because he eschewed evil and loved righteousness. And that's the mark of a Christian. He gets so he just despises every ungodly, unclean thing. He just despises it. In whose eyes the wicked are contemned, holds them in contempt, despises them. We had that not very long ago, a couple of times. I will wash my hands, not as Pilate, but lifting up holy hands, cleansing your hands, cleansing your heart, cleansing your mind, ye double-minded. See? And you need not but to wash your feet, and the way you walk, the way you live, the things you do, if your feet are clean, don't need to worry. Don't need to worry. You won't be running to mischief. You won't be standing among the ungodly. You won't be putting a stumbling block in anyone else's way. I wash my hands in innocence. See, because he said, I will be innocent of the great transgression when I have cleansed my heart, when you have searched me out. See if any secret sins are in me. So I will compass thine altar. Then I can approach you, Lord. Jesus said, if you come to the altar to bring your gift and you have some, your brother has aught against you, or you have some condition, don't offer it. Go and be reconciled first with your brother, and then come and be reconciled with God. You can't get reconciled with God while you're not reconciled with your brethren. If you're hating one another, backbiting one another, speaking evil one of another, judging one another, and that sort of thing, how can you come to God and offer your offering? He won't have it. He won't have it. He said he would. Jesus told him you can't do it. Go and be reconciled and then come and offer your offering. Now all of these sound like simple teachings, but oh, they have such depth, because if he does not accept your offering, what will you do though you offer your whole self? If this is still in abeyance, what will you do? How can you? See what I mean? Lord, I give my all to you. Do you? He won't have it as long as you won't do the other things that he says. You see what a little thing it takes to throw you out of gear, and all the while you're thinking you're going into the kingdom of heaven. When we all get to heaven, are you going to get there? There's the problem. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. because judgment's going to begin right at the house of God. And there's going to be a lot of them. You know how many of those who thought they were going into the marriage supper of the Lamb, how many of them went in? They had their lamps, they had oil in their lamps, and they went out to meet the bridegroom. How many got in? 50%. Just half of them. Think of it. That was the virgins. They had their lamp. And they had oil in their lamp. But they let their lights go out. Their oil was no more plentiful. They had no more light. They slumbered and slept. He tarried just a little too long. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And that's what's been happening. Right here, just previous to this time right here, the whole world seemed to be asleep. The churches were all dead and asleep. Just seemed like it was just horrible situation there. Until finally God poured out the latter rain again and began to revive. Began to wake some of them up. And they began to realize that it's about the 11th hour and getting near the midnight hour. Midnight. The bridegroom came, see? And they knew that it was getting late. They began to trim their lamps. They began to get oil in their lamps. And that's where we are right now. We're just getting ready for that coming. He's just about to come. Just about to come. Don't go to sleep now. Don't turn back now. It's too late. But be sure that you have oil in your lamp. Be sure you keep it full. Keep yourself in the love of God. Examine yourself to see whether you're in the truth and keep yourself in the love of God and save yourself from this untoward generation. Because this generation that we're living in nowadays is 90% or bigger untoward God. Untoward God, not toward God. Just the opposite. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. That I may, pardon me, see where I am. Seven of 26. Here we are. Yes, that's where I was looking. I will compass thine altar. That's right. That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving. Look, who's the publisher? Who's publishing this thing? Are you publishing it? That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving. My, and people hear you giving thanks to God. Now you can go out and preach this gospel and just go around telling people you better get right with God. That's not enough. If they never hear you give God thanks, if they never see the joy of the Lord in you, if they don't see the fruits in you, by their fruits you shall know them. They're going to be looking at you for fruit. By this shall all men know that you are the sons of God and His children, if you have love one to another. I don't mean just free love. I don't mean hippie love. Not that kind of love. I mean love that remains and continues to do good even to those who do you evil. Among the brethren. Among the brethren. And still have enough love left over for the man in the gutter. Even though he's unlovely, utterly, and ungodly. Enough love to tell him about Jesus. But this love that God's talking about, it never changes. Without it, everything else you do is tinkling cymbal, sounding brass. Doesn't mean a thing without that love of God shed abroad in your heart that will manifest itself always. Somebody does you real wrong. They come and ask your forgiveness. You're bound to forgive him. You'll have to forgive him. Jesus told you to. Not only that, but the love of God shed abroad in your heart will make you be glad to be able to forgive him. I'm always glad when somebody comes back and says, "Brother, I want you to forgive me." I'm so glad. I kiss him every time. I never miss. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. It worries me the other way. I just worry about him. I still pray for him, but I worry about him. I don't like them very well. They don't... You see, you don't have to like them, but you must love them. That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Isaiah 43:1-10. Got a lot of people are out here are making an awful lot of noise about this wonderful Jesus, but they're not living for him. And if you crossed their path a little bit, you'd find out they didn't love you very much either. And if they find out that you're baptized in Jesus' name, they'll hate you. Some of them, a lot of them, even in the better churches. And the reason they do is not because they've got hatred in their heart. That is because they've been taught to hate you. Taught to hate you. Because they think you're the devil. Because you're doing what God said instead of what the Pope said. Lots of false teachers run. Not just the Pope, but I mean a lot of these things started way back there when the church was full of idolatry, and it's still full of it in a great many ways. They don't mean to be. Lord, I have loved thy habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Now, not only the place where we gather together because the Lord is there in the midst of us, we do love the church. We do love the place where we gather together and all of that because it's a place that we've dedicated unto the Lord. And there's where we meet together to share one with another, and there we have blessed times together. We do love that, but it's not talking about just that. It's talking about the house of the Lord, the habitation of thy house. Just love to be in your house. Just so glad that we're in that habitation. Thou, Lord, hast been our habitation of old. He's always been the habitation of his people. He'll be the tabernacle in the very end of these times. He'll spread his tent over you. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell among them. Revelation 7 and also in chapter 21. Gather not my soul, the place where thine honor dwelleth, not in a building, but his honor dwelleth in these temples, yours and mine, which are temples of God. Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God? You're not your own. He that built the house is greater than the house. Lord Jesus is the one that built this house. Which house you are? Hebrews 3:6. Gather not thy soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Job 27:5. Proverbs 11:3. 2 Timothy 1:12. Psalm 40:2. Psalm 40:2. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. I think that's probably 40:2. It was so close to the other, I gave it to you, but that belongs to that last one. In an even place. Psalm 40:2. Let's look at it right while we're right here close to it. Psalm 40:2. He brought me also up out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay where I was sinking down into death. set my feet upon a rock, and established my going, and he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto my God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. That's when you're publishing the voice of thanksgiving. The voice of thanksgiving. In the congregation will I bless the Lord. That is, eulogize the Lord. Speak well of him. Magnify him. Glorify him. And give him praise. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light. He also is your lamp. Psalm 84:11, Isaiah 60:19-20, Micah 7:8. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We read just back here in Psalm, I'll not be afraid of 10,000s that'll gather themselves against me. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. God saw to that. Though an host should encamp against me, whole army, host is armed. My heart shall not fear, though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. And many have come through these wars because they were confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Dwell in it. I mean continually dwell in it. Continually dwell in it. In Christ. I in you and you in me, Jesus said. That we may be one in God. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. When as yet there was no temple. When this was written. But God had told him there would be. And the Holy Spirit prophesied of one to come. I